Good morning. Bring greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. This is a new experience for me to be here in front of you all. I don't know just very many of you. I do a few. But it is a blessing. It's a privilege to share God's word wherever God's people are gathered. Do pray for me. It is not easy for me to preach in English. I don't do it very often. I cannot quote many English Bible verses. I could in Spanish, but not in English. So my desire this morning is that that would not hinder the message to come across. I do speak English. I learned the language, not my mother language. But I'm glad I can communicate. And my desire this morning is to bless you all with the Word of God. And I believe we've all come, we should have come to worship. And what does worship mean? It means to exalt. And I'm glad you did not come here, and you better not have come here to worship me. I don't need to impress. I don't need to exalt myself. I want to humble myself before you all. And if I make some mistakes, just bear with me. As far as myself, if I want to be humble, that doesn't matter. As long as the message gets across, as long as God is exalted, Jesus is exalted, that's my desire this morning. We have come to worship in the beauty of holiness. Let's go to Psalms. Chapter 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Now, I tend to tremble a little bit before a setting like this and the challenge of speaking or preaching in English. But I don't want to fear you. But it doesn't matter if we tremble before the Lord in respect and in reverence and in a desire to honor him, to exalt him. And I realized it again and again that when I think of myself and look back at some of my failures in life or shortcomings or mistakes I've made, it humbles me. It makes me tremble before the Lord, and even to stand here before you, because I'm not somebody that can say I am the perfect example of holiness. But we are worshiping a God that is holy. And I am so thankful that we have a God that's a holy God, a righteous God, and a loving Father to us, that has brought salvation our way through Jesus. He reached out to us. That's the kind of Father we have, and we want to worship this morning. I'd like to just read some verses in Psalms. I like the way the psalmist expresses himself. Verse 1 in chapter 96, it says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day." We have a lot of things to be thankful for, but there's nothing that we should be more thankful for than that the Lord saved us. And that should put a song in our heart. I was impressed this morning to just see how many songs. I mean, there's some congregations you come to and there isn't much singing. I like when there's singing. The amount of singing that was done this morning blesses me. Then again, I thought it was a beautiful thought and devotions that we can hear, but it doesn't touch our hearts, doesn't get to our hearts. I hope the singing, the worship gets to our heart, or comes from our heart. It's not just that we sing. We can just sing and not worship. We can sing and it doesn't come from our heart. And my desire is to do that more. I'm not here to say that I'm not preaching to myself as well, to encourage each one of us to worship, and then to worship in the beauty of holiness. A thought came to me, thinking of what it means to worship in the beauty of holiness. It is not worshiping in the beauty of holiness if we have pride in our hearts. Think we're good people. Maybe that's why the Lord reminded me this morning as I prepared in prayer for this message that I need to ask God to cleanse me, to purify my life, my thoughts, my actions, and cleanse me from all iniquity, to stand before you here and worship the Lord. Self-exaltation is the very essence of unrighteousness, the opposite of beauty, of the beauty of holiness. And when we think of worshiping, so many people worship themselves, maybe wouldn't say that, but they exalt themselves. To worship is to exalt. So when we have pride or exalt ourselves, it's self-worship. And we cannot worship in the beauty of holiness when we have any self-exaltation in us. And we serve a holy God. Now, I was impressed, and we are going to look at some references later, about Jesus and the example he gave us in humility and the absence of self-exaltation. But whom did he exalt? He exalted the Father. And that's why Jesus is righteous and holy, because he did not exalt himself. Self-exaltation is the very beginning, the very essence of unrighteousness and of all sin. That's what Satan did. He exalted himself. That's where sin starts, when we exalt ourselves. And we cannot worship in the beauty of holiness if we have anything of self-exaltation in ourselves. We have to die to self. And it would be one thing for us to worship the Lord . Or it would be quite another thing to serve, try to worship the Lord if he was a God that exalted himself. Or Jesus, if he would have exalted himself and put himself over us and force us to worship him. I hope this morning we are motivated to worship because of how he is. Let's read some more here in Psalms. For the Lord is great, verse 4. Maybe verse 3 we didn't read. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people, verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear him, all the earth. Psalms 98. I was going to read verse 9 and 10 of chapter 97. For the Lord, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. There's one thought I want to bring out here. That to truly worship, we must hate evil. We cannot love self. We cannot love, or we cannot worship, truly worship, if there's anything in our lives that we exalt more than Christ. Self-exaltation is evil. Anything that prides in itself is unrighteous. It's not right because God is creator of all things. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. Now we know about countries where there's cruel dictators. And our situation is so different. We can come before the Lord in gladness. Make a joyful noise. Come before him with singing. Because in our hearts there's something that rejoices in the simple fact that he is a loving, righteous, holy God. And I especially would like to, and I don't think I overemphasize when I say that righteousness is the absence of self-exaltation. And self-exaltation is the essence of all evil, of all sin. Anything that deviates from God is self-exaltation. And we want to exalt God. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. We see heavenly worship. We'll read from verse 9 on. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Exalting the Lamb, exalting God. Worship God. blessings and honor and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Chapter 19, Revelations. From verse 1 to 10. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great war, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We see again a picture of exalting. And whoever this servant was, an angel, said, Don't worship me. By no means. Worship God. What did Satan do? We can read about it in Isaiah. Let's just read a verse or two in Isaiah 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven, and will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He did not worship his Creator, God. He wanted to exalt himself. Self-worship, that is evil, the beginning of all evil. Jesus was separated from all evil. He did not exalt himself. And let's just look at that a little bit. It's so beautiful to see Jesus exalting the Father and not himself. Satan and his exaltation was the beginning of sin and evil. And Jesus humbled himself and did not exalt himself. He was our Redeemer and opened the way that we can now belong to a family that worships the Holy God. Hebrews chapter 1. verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Who was exalting Jesus? The Father. And Jesus, we'll see in some other references we read, he did not exalt himself, but he exalted the Father. The Father exalted the Son exalted the Father. That's why we have a holy God. That's the perfect example of holiness, absence of self-exaltation. And Jesus says if we are going to humble ourselves, he is going to exalt us. We don't need to worry about self-exalting ourselves because that's sin, that's evil, that's wickedness, that's unrighteousness. But we can be so thankful we serve a righteous God that does not exalt himself. Even though, I mean, I want to say this carefully because God has all the right. He is the creator. But we see some beautiful pictures of Jesus exalting the Father and the Father exalting Jesus. Not self-exaltation. Now here it says that God exalted Jesus for a reason. And if we think of sin and evil as self-exaltation, the essence of all unrighteousness, he says he loved righteousness. He loved righteousness. He did not exalt himself. Hated iniquity, hated self-exaltation. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And it says Jesus humbled himself, left, didn't count it. How did, somebody can cite that verse, didn't count it for gain. Somebody can you recite that verse? But he humbled himself and
became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow.
Every knee should bow. Because he humbled himself. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's follow that example. We know that. We know that the way up is always down first. But we don't go down just because we want to be exalted or finally do want to exalt ourselves because we're so humble. No. We'll let somebody else do that. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He stayed humble. And he understands how it feels. He knew who he was. He said at one point, don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels and just put you all down? But he didn't do it. If he would have done it, he would have exalted himself. John chapter 17, there are some beautiful verses in the book of John. Jesus did say, I am. He did not deny who he was. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. We don't have to deny who we are to be humble. The gifts we have, we can use them. but not to our own glory. John chapter 17. And I don't understand this. And for their sakes, verse 19, 17, 19, for their sakes have I sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I don't understand this verse, except that I see the very picture again of Jesus humbling himself. That's beautiful. He was holy in the sense of cleanliness. He didn't need to be sanctified. But he took the route that takes us to sanctification, is humbling ourselves. He was God. He was creator of the universe. And yet, he sanctified himself. He stepped down. He humbled himself. And humbled himself all the way down to the death on the cross. Now let's see it an opposite picture, and then we'll come back to John. Let's look at a few verses in Daniel chapter 4. A different picture, very different. Verse 30. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Nebuchadnezzar exalted himself. Jesus would have had more right to exalt himself. But he didn't. He sanctified himself for our sakes, to give us an example of what righteousness is, to love righteousness and to hate iniquity. Nebuchadnezzar was humble. He was warned beforehand. It sounds like 12 months before, a year before, he was warned what was going to happen to him if he exalted himself, and he did anyway. Verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Back to the book of John, chapter 7, verse 16. And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Why didn't Jesus say, This is my message to you? He could have. Why didn't he? He humbled himself. He sanctified himself. He showed us what it is all, what sin, what evil and righteousness is all about. He that speaketh of himself speaketh his own glory. Very plain. So Jesus didn't do that. Isn't that beautiful that we serve that kind of a God? You know, it almost gave me the picture that the Trinity is beautiful. We just see a beautiful picture in the relationship between Jesus and the Father, showing us what true righteousness is all about. If any man will do his will, he shall know that the doctrine, that this doctrine is of God. And he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that speaketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. Is that true for us too? As soon as we speak of something that is of ourselves, or we think is our own, but as long as we don't, there's no unrighteousness in us. Is that true? That's what Jesus is saying here, if I understand it right. So the essence of all evil is self-exaltation, is speaking of our own thing, doing our own thing. But we're not doing our own thing. We're doing what he is telling us to do. But I'm sharing a message that he gave to me. It's not my message. If this is my message, it's unrighteous. It's not right. It's not my message. Let's remember that. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. That's a very, very, very blunt, straightforward statement. I'm tempted often to speak of things I do or have accomplished. I don't know if you struggle with that. I'm the kind of person that likes to design stuff. I like welding, I build stuff. And I've had people say that you can do anything. That's kind of dangerous. That's not good for me to have that feel, get too much of that feeling. I can do it. I designed this. I invented this. I built this. And we come up, I. We can say some things without pride. But can we give God the honor, the glory for it? Can we say, He helped me? He gave me the ability to do it. As long as we give him the glory. Nebuchadnezzar did not give God the glory. I did this. We feel pretty good about it. I did it. That's the beginning of unrighteousness, of sin, of evil, of pride. In chapter 8, we just see it again and again in the book of John, especially 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus felt a little forsaken in Gethsemane. And again, I don't pretend to understand it all, but he is always with me because I always do his will. Not my will, but thine be done. If it were possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours. If we can live like this and follow the example of Jesus, we can worship him in the beauty of holiness. Our adoration, our worship will not be acceptable before him if it doesn't come from that kind of a spirit. I seek not mine own glory. Verse 50. But there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus knew that he did not need to seek his own glory, but there is one. And we can always do the same thing. When we feel like lifting ourselves up or showing people or think they should recognize what I did and at least say thank you. It's not a bad thing to teach our children to say thank you and be grateful. That's a good thing. But it's not because I need that thank you from my children. I want to be thankful and teach them to be thankful. I just like this phrase here. They were accusing him, he had the devil. And verse 49, he says, I have not the devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. You're dishonoring me, but I'm not seeking that honor, but there's one that is. And they were going to have to give account for that. In chapter 17, Jesus says that the Father has given him power. But again, he refers to the power he has as something given. Verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. I can give life eternal life. Jesus knew that we'd better understand this, that our salvation comes through him. But he always refers to the Father, giving him that right or authority. He did not claim it as something originally his. And is there anything we can claim as ours originally? Nothing. Everything we have was given to us. Back to chapter 8 again, verse 49. Okay, well, we saw this one already, sorry. Chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. This phrase here that I want to lift up is, I lay down my life. Therefore doth my Father love me. Now, there's another aspect of this, humbling ourselves and even seeing Jesus humble himself. The beauty of unity. We're speaking the beauty of holiness, but also the beauty of unity that results out of this. Chapter 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. 11:41. Father, I am reading the last part of it. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I know you hear me. It forms a unity, a relationship, an understanding when we are humble. It is also necessary for a good relationship between us humans to be humble, to not exalt ourselves. And then chapter 12, I'm just going to go through some more verses here in John. Chapter 12, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Again, example of the Father and the Son. A togetherness, a oneness, a perfect union, one God. The Father, the Son, as one. And Jesus was obedient unto death. Chapter 14, verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And where did he go? To Gethsemane. The world may know that I love the Father. He spoke these words while he was here on earth, like chapter 12, like where we were. Repeating again the verses here, says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Verse 44, he said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Chapter 13, jumping back and forth here a little bit. Verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Back and forth. The Father glorifying the Son glorifying the Father. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 4. Now here's the practical part for us. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this is the verse that was cited later. Wherefore God also exalted him, has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of the things in heaven and the things of earth, in earth and the things under the earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God is going to see after that, that this happens. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Nowadays, we see it so much in the world that people think they'll be happy if they can do their own thing. That will bring happiness. I just read one of these days, and it's kind of, maybe it was almost a joke, but somebody was, you know, like, they have these writings here, this psychiatrist saying, what is keeping you from being yourself? What is keeping you from being yourself? And the response was human rights, and it mentioned three things. What was the other thing? Something like the laws of the country, I'm not sure exactly, referring to the laws of the country and human rights and the Bible. Stands in the way. We can't be ourselves. So warped. Where will we be happy? If we do our own thing? Or if we worship and honor a righteous God and live for him and not for self And we're just not wired that way to be happy when we do our own thing. We find out we're happy when we make somebody else happy. When we look after somebody else's things and not just our own things. We so often forget. And forget that it's more than just, I like to do the things I enjoy doing, or I want to do right now. And don't realize that if we do our own things, it is just the very beginning of all unrighteousness. It's not so much the things that we're doing, it's the purpose that we're doing it for. We're trying to... Why is self-gratification wrong? It's the same as self-exaltation. It's focusing on self. And that was the beginning of evil. Satan exalted himself. He wanted to do his own thing. I think there's things we can do, the right motives. It's a beautiful thing to involve your family and make them happy. But again, it's not that we're doing it just for our own gratification. It's beautiful, yes. It blesses us. But we include others. When you think of moral sin, when you think of a relationship and compare a marriage relationship with fornication or adultery, why is one beautiful and the other sinful and wicked and evil? One is exalting self, and the other is exalting the other. One is right and one is wrong. Exalting self is the very essence of all evil. And exalting Christ and living for others and for Christ is righteousness. There is no righteousness in you, it says, if you do that. Unrighteousness, I'm not sure what I said. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What do you see here when we read this passage? We'll read a few more verses, and I just would like for you to just ponder and look at this. What do you see in this passage? In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. What do you see here? In Jesus. Would anybody want to answer that? I'm not saying one answer is going to be correct and the other one wrong, but what do we see here about Jesus?
Jesus came to earth for my good.
Uh-huh. Very correct. Somebody else?
He's preparing a place for his bride.
He's not saying he is going to prepare this place for himself. You see it? He's preparing a place for us. Again, the same spirit, the same thought of righteousness. And then we can go to Ephesians and see there about the marriage relationship, how that's supposed to function in the church. I'd just like to leave this with you. Spirit of righteousness in Jesus, preparing a place for us, undeserved people. He sanctified himself. He showed us how to live a righteous life. Shall we bow for a prayer?